I thought it'd be quite fun to experiment a little bit. You know, since 2010, we own the brand, whereas before it was kind of difficult because we were very much dependent on the stocks that were available in the warehouses when we started to develop the brand in its early days, you know, 20-odd years ago. But since then, we've been laying down quite a lot of stock, and we've been experimenting with this and that. And I thought it would be quite fun to go back to the origins of Glenrothes when it teamed up in 1887 with the Nahavin Distillery in Islay. And in those days, that's really what formed what's called the Highland Distilleries Company. And then to that were added, you know, the likes of Glengoyne and McCallan and a few others, Tamdhu and Highland Park and so on. And we thought that, you know, essentially what we were doing with the reserves was a deconstruction of the vintages. Because we started off, obviously, the primary goal was to release just vintages, and because of the fact there were very few, there was very little surplus stock in the warehouses, and what surplus stock was there wasn't always the very top quality. We were very restricted, really, in the amount of good whiskey that we could release. And those quickly ran out as the footprint of the Glenrothes single malt lovers grew bigger. And the result of that was the reserves. And these essentially were house styles, but they were, in a way, a deconstruction of what the vintage was all about. So we had, as you know, the Alba Reserve, which is shortly to become the Bourbon Reserve. We then had Sherry Cask Reserve, which is a recent launch this year. And we have right in the middle the vintage, the vintage reserve, which is the combination of sherry cask reserve and bourbon cask reserves. And those, all those expressions are available on an ongoing basis. The idea behind the peated cask reserve was that we would produce something which would go back to prior to the Second World War, when we, all the Glenrothes that was produced would have had a slight amount of peat in it. And we thought, well, this is an interesting departure from the main theme. And we then experimented with it over a period of time by using ex Islay casks, which already have had whiskey in them, to mature some very old Glenrothes that we had in the warehouse. In fact, it was from 1992. And after quite a lot of experimentation, the peat, as you probably know, will quickly dominate something as elegant as Glenrothes. So it was very much a question of trial and error to see how much time it would take, really, for peat to dominate, and how much time it would be take so that the peat was in balance with the character of the distillery itself. And it's been a few months since we did this, and the first batch has come out, and as of the 1st of November, we are releasing it to Marks & Spencer's, a well-known store in the UK. On an exclusive basis, but such has been the reception to it and tastings that I have done, but it looks like that this will be an ongoing expression. If you like, this is probably the first of the finishes that we have ever done as Glenrothes, but it's part and parcel, really, of the experimentation program that we have started over the years in order to raise the bar, if you like, of Glenrothes through not only the vintages, but also expanding it horizontally into other areas, which obviously fall within what was and is the Scotch whisky spec, if you like, from in the guidance of the SWA.
Give me a sense, if you can, of how this peated reserve compares with the that post-war peated Glenrothes that was being distilled back then. I assume you've had a chance to taste some of that, right?
No, I have once tasted a 1945 Glen Ross's. And it did, it has, in fact, I got it sitting in front of me here at home, but it has got a faint glimpse of peat. Now, the integration of the peat, or smoke rather, in both these is pretty much similar. That's the in terms of the phenolic content. In terms of the actual peat influence and the type of peat that's being used, obviously the Isle of Peat is very different to the peat that we would have used in Scotland, which is much more sort of aromatic style. And it was very important to me that the influence of the Isle of Peat was not dominant, so didn't have that sort of TCP essence to it. So it was a question of how long do you keep it in the cask to make sure that the peat didn't deliver too much of that, but yet delivered a nice drift and a kiss of smoke at the back of the palate.
How long will it take you to make this an ongoing expression and sell it outside of Marks & Spencer? You said the first batch goes to Marks & Spencer. I'm assuming future batches would be more widely available?
That's correct. Yes, we're going to now, because of the reception of it. There are quite a lot of markets in the world where we have found that it's been difficult to penetrate with the sort of elegant spirit that the Glenrothes is used to producing. So whilst this is an elegant expression, it very much sort of cut out that 10 or 15% of the market, which was the smoke-loving whiskey single malt drinkers, and we are now laying down sufficient stocks to be able, hopefully, to satisfy the demands in coming years. It is a question of sucking it in the sea, really, to make the market. These things always are, but now that the first sellout will be a pretty good indication in the UK market, but then there are a whole host of other markets that are smoke-loving single malt markets that we hope now to be able to get into as well. So we've got stocks now being laid down for that, and modest they are, but we have great hopes in the future for this. The key thing for me is really that we don't lose the character of the blends through smoke, and I've always found smoky whiskies to be quite difficult to really get to understand, and one of the ways of doing it, obviously, it's taken me quite a few years to do it, is to be able to sort of habituate yourself to the reek of the peat, and then just discover really what's lying underneath that. And for quite a lot of people who don't do it who don't taste whiskies as often as I do, it becomes quite hard. But then there is a market for people who just love a predominant flavor of peat smoke, as we can see with some of the expressions from Ireland.
There's no chance that you'll actually distill peated malt at the distillery, right?
I wouldn't say never, but at the moment the difficulty with that is getting the phenolic content correct, making sure that the character of the distillery shines through. But I wouldn't say never.